Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Barb Anderson, Intuit's group manager. Barb shares her deep insights into small business needs. Barb, thank you for sharing your deep experiences and insights on small business needs with our audience.
It's my pleasure, Stephen. Thank you for inviting me.
Barb, you have this amazing background, and Intuit has been a really admirable company for a number of years. And based on that, then, if you can profile, sort of the economics and demographics around small business in Canada and in the U.S.
Of course. Intuit, as you've talked about, we're a global company, based predominantly in North America. And we spend lots of time talking to and researching businesses on both sides of the border. And really what we found is that Canadian businesses are not that different from their American counterparts. In both countries, small business or entrepreneurs are really driving the economy and providing the nation's jobs, I guess, if you will. In both countries, roughly 50% of the labor force is working for a small business. Also, as it relates to managing their finances, we see very similar jobs being performed, how they go about doing these jobs. And also on the flip side, they're also encountering very similar struggles or very similar pains. Small businesses, they're short on one thing, and that's time. They wear many different hats. They're working long hours to see their businesses succeed, and that's a constant. As it relates to some of the trends, and specifically around demographics, we are seeing what we call the changing face of entrepreneurs or the changing face of small business, and this is a North American-wide trend for certain. And it's really about taking what was that traditional small business owner, that middle-aged white male, and we're seeing a real change to, people getting into business because they want flexibility. So the mompreneurs, the seniorpreneurs, so those that, want some balance, they're not going to work a 40, 50-hour week, but they still want to follow their passion, have a business. We also see what we call careerpreneurs, those people that perhaps have hit the glass ceiling. Perhaps they were part of layoffs that have happened in this, our recent economic times. And they take those skills that they had working for a big business, and they take it out to do something on their own.
Do you see any impact in terms of the millennials or Generation Z upcoming?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so really this is a generation that has grown up with technology, and that's, I think, one of the key things as it relates to them and their entrepreneurship. They're so familiar with technology. It's around them at all times. This is also a generation, though, that is, we've seen to be risk averse. They are confident and they just have these ideals. And so that mix of idealism, of confidence, of risk averse, coupled with being very technically astute, makes them very ripe for entrepreneurship.
In Canada, it's estimated that something like, there's 3 million Canadians within 10 years in the median age of retirement, and this will also apply to the U.S. somewhat. But of course, 10 times that number. So you're saying then you're finding baby boomers sort of re-entering into the marketplace, but in terms of a small business?
Absolutely. So whether it's, they've been part of some corporate restructuring and they may have to work, they may want to work. They may have retired and said, I still want to be involved. I still want to do something. I have this hobby that's, a lot of small businesses start because they followed a hobby into a business. That idea has blossomed. So we see that kind of, again, calling them seniorpreneurs, but you're dead on. It's the baby boomer segment, sticking in the workforce, but doing it through small business, owning a small business.
Now, Barb, what are your additional predictions in terms of the future in this sector?
So I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't tell you exactly what it's going to look like. I'm not sure any of us can. But I can tell you what we're seeing today and what I think we'll continue to see. The first is that technology is providing, greater mobility and greater accessibility for small business. I'm thinking specifically here around the internet and smartphones. And this greater flexibility is not just about getting work done. So back to those mompreneurs that we talked about that, they are dropping their kids off at 9, they're picking up at 3. They need to be able and accessible from their customers and to do their work when they're, in that kind of setting. But those flexible technologies also give you a different way to reach your customers. So whether it's you're sending out text messages as one of your marketing ploys. So again, that technology is providing greater flexibility. I think the second thing that we'll continue to see is analytical tools and how they're helping small businesses with productivity, so helping them become more efficient, but also helping them to make decisions. So our products, so we specialize in financial management products and specifically QuickBooks for small business. These are the types of products that I think we'll see even more of, and not necessarily only in the financial space, but it's all about bringing together disparate sources of data that you have in your business, centralizing it so that you can analyze it. The third trend that, again, we're seeing today, and I think many are starting to figure out how they use it in their business, is around social media. And I think as it relates to small businesses and entrepreneurs and social media, it's really twofold. It's first, social media gives entrepreneurs a network. It gives them an opportunity to reach out, to connect, to get support from their peer group, which is really important as a small business because it's really, really lonely. The second advantage of social media, many small businesses and many like larger businesses as well are using it as a way to attract and retain their customers. So it becomes both that support network, but also a marketing tool.
So you've already touched on this already, but maybe you can expand further, and that is what impact will the new technologies have, and how should businesses plan for them and implement them?
I'll can absolutely go a little bit further on that. So, you know, new technologies are doing and will continue to do great things for small businesses. You know, we talked about the flexibility. It allows them to work on their own time and on their own terms. That is huge. It also is allowing them to compete globally. And lastly, it's allowing them to partner with larger organizations. I'll dig into each one a little bit more. So again, you know, mobility, I don't want to, you know, hammer this one to death. But again, as people are getting into business to they're craving flexibility, they're craving balance, smartphones, software as a service applications that they can connect to the cloud wherever they happen to be. It's allowing small business to work whenever and wherever they want. As it relates to going global, the internet is allowing small businesses to source inputs into their product mix and into their service mix cheaper than they could before. And it's also allowing them to market themselves globally. They're no longer restricted to the city they work in, the city they live in, or even the neighborhood they're in. They can go global. Back to allowing small businesses to partner with larger organizations. Over time, and this is, you know, not in the most recent years, this is, you know, all small businesses have found a way to fill various niches that big businesses can't fill. I am always amazed, and I love talking to small business and learning what they do, and I'm always just certainly impressed by these ideas and these holes that you didn't think anyone was filling, and they are filling. And because they've been so innovative over time, because they've been able to fill these niches, technology will actually help to accelerate this. Big businesses will be able to find small businesses. They'll be able to continue to outsource things like sales and marketing and innovation to these small businesses that will continue to fill the niches unmet by big business. So you'd asked about how should they plan for, and as it relates to implementation, you know, I'm not really talking about technologies that aren't around us today. These are technologies that many small businesses are already using. They have websites. They're using the internet. They have smartphones. But I think what it'll really be about is how that they are using them, not implementing, but using them.
So how is Intuit working with businesses to ensure their success?
So Intuit is, I'm going to say this, I'm such a fan of the place I work, and that, as you pointed out, is Intuit. And the reason I'm a fan is because we put our customers at the forefront of what we do and our prospects. So we are always out talking to small business, trying to learn about small business, try to understand the pains and the struggles that they have so that we can come up with products, we can come up with services and solutions that help them overcome those pains and hurdles. So for instance, we do things as simple as following them into their offices and watching them work, sitting in the background and watching the things that they do, either with our products or without, and to try to come up with ideas and solutions on how we can help them. We bring them in when we are developing those things, and we do it with quick iterations. Put something on paper. Do you think this would work? What if I changed this? So again, getting their input as it relates to the products we develop. We also go out on a broader scale, and we have a series of studies that we've sponsored with the Institute for the Future that have, you know, helped provide some of these insights around where small business is going, so that we can help provide not just products and services, but information that will help small business. Because again, back to small businesses and being lonely, they don't have the kind of assets and resources and networks that large businesses have. So providing things as simple as information is really becomes an advantage for small business.
Okay, now we're going to sort of move away from, you know, talking about technologies somewhat and you know, the needs of small business. And, you know, we have a number of people in the audience who are on different career tracks. They're looking for special tips, career lessons, and so on. And they're very much interested in you, Barb, because you're remarkably executive. You've had great success. So maybe you can highlight some of the important milestones in your career and the lessons for success that you wish to emphasize that will be of value to our audience.
That's a great, great question, Stephen. There's really, in my head, three milestones that come to mind. And the first was certainly, at the time, did not feel like a milestone. And that was, I had a summer job when I was 18 years old. I was a university student. And I, for that summer, I managed the books for a small business. It was extremely, extremely challenging. Money was very tight in the small business. So again, I was at the hub of seeing money coming in and money going out of this business, money coming in at times slower than you wanted, and money going out, you know, meeting, you know, I had the stress of me of around finding enough cash to make payroll at times, and seeing that and working with the owners to see that. It was such, at the time, very stressful for an 18-year-old university student. But in hindsight, I think it was probably one of the best learning experiences I've ever had. And the milestone for me is really around, as it relates to my current role and how I support small business. When you think about cash flow is king for these guys. There's nothing else that matters at the end of the day than how much money I have in the bank. And I think for those of us that support small business, we need to recognize that role and how important financial management is for them. The second milestone, one of the positions I've had in my career was at Canadian Airlines. And Canadian Airlines, for those of you who remember prior to the Air Canada days, you know, was actually quite a great place to work. And I worked specifically in the Canadian Plus Frequent Flyer program. And so what you get to see in an environment like that, in a Frequent Flyer program, is really the importance of customer loyalty and how it can be gained. And so, you know, you think about in frequent flyer programs, you think about the point systems, and, you know, that must from the outside appear to be what it's all about, right? You're going to come with me because I'm giving you points, I'm giving you status. But I think the insight and the milestone that I take away from that is it wasn't actually about those rewards. It's actually about delight. And it was actually those things that we could do that were less tangible that just, you know, put you into the hearts and into the hearts of your customers and your prospects, and they wouldn't go anywhere else. The perfect example I have for this one is we had set up a concierge program at that time for our frequent flyers. And so this would be someone, and you know, I see it today as I travel, waiting for you at the gate so that they can, you know, whatever you need, they're going to take care of. And it was just, you know, seeing that delight goes over and above those kind of I won't call them superficial rewards because the status and the points are very important, but it goes just that one step along further. The last milestone, and I'm going to generalize it, and it's going to be the current position I have working at Intuit. And I had said previously, Intuit is a customer that puts customers at the heart of the business, at the center of the business. I have never worked for a company, and when I talk to peers in other corporations, we are unique in the amount and the depth of interaction that we have with customers. You know, I see some people coming into this organization that prospect of connecting with a customer one-on-one, it's scary, but once you do it, it's addictive. And so I think this milestone and this lesson learned is you cannot go far enough with engaging with your customers, walking in their shoes and understanding how they use your products and what problems and what pains they're encountering.
So are there some other top lessons and tips that you want to share from the projects you've worked on and from your global leadership role?
You know, I think I wouldn't call them other. I'd go back to the milestones. And you know, when I think about the lessons I've learned from those things, you know, I take away three things, so three lessons, I guess. Walk in your customer's shoes. The experience I had at that small business, in hindsight, like I said, was just invaluable. Understanding what they're going through is critical. You know, the second thing is once you've walked in your customer's shoes, once you have them in the door, make sure you're rewarding them, make sure you're recognizing them, make sure they love you so they go out and tell others about you. It's so difficult to acquire customers. It's very costly to acquire customers. It's a whole lot easier to retain them, but you just need to focus on them and think about how you're in some ways using your customer base as an advocate for you. And the third lesson is really around get the organization focused on the customer. Get everyone from your engineers, if that's relevant in your business, to your marketing folks. Obviously, your frontline service folks and people like that are interacting with the customer, but get them all living and breathing. We're here for the customer. And once you have that, you know, one of the lessons we've learned here is that once you get your workforce engaged around the customer, they love it. They absolutely love it. And so if you can focus on customer experience improvements, putting them first, your employees will be engaged, and shareholder results will follow.
Well, Barb, we're at the end of our interview here, so I have a couple more questions. And,
yes.
You know, what do you see then as the top challenges facing us today, and how do you propose they be solved? And the second part is, if you were doing this interview, what questions would you ask, and what would be your answers?
Excellent. Well, you know, I started off, Stephen, when we were talking about the similarities of small businesses on both sides of the border. And the thing that I highlighted there was this notion of time. Time is something that is scarce for entrepreneurs. They're so spread thin, and they need to look for opportunities to be more efficient. But I think this lack of time and this increasing pace of our life, and that you see it as technology permeates itself more and more into our lives, is a common theme for all of us. And it's, you know, whether it's big business, small business, in our professional lives, in our personal lives. And so this notion of how do you get your time back? And while I don't have the silver bullet for this, I do think, and I see this through my professional life, and I hope to model it as much as I can in my personal life, is if you can really define what success means for you, you can make sure you're doing the right things to get you there. You can articulate where you're going and what's important for you, and it helps you, at least in your professional life, define the work that you do and, most importantly, the work that you don't do. And so when you think about it in your personal life, you know, really I think it's, you know, there's a nice synergy there around being really focused. You know, we're so busy. If you're a parent, if you're a spouse, if you're a professional, you're just going a mile a minute. I think staying focused in your life on what's important will help get you there faster. The second part of your question was around what if I was conducting the interview, what would I ask? You know, think you asked fantastic, relevant questions, very appropriate to small business and where they're going. The additional question I would ask, though, is, you know, why do you like working in this space? And why do you like working with small business? I think that, you know, when you think about, and my career has been primarily in marketing to date, people think of the consumer packaged goods is the sexy industry, and small business marketing seems so gritty. And maybe not as sensational or not as sexy. I don't want to be anywhere else. I love marketing and talking to small business. My reason's really twofold. The first is it's so easy to get behind entrepreneurs. They are so passionate. They're inspirational. They have ideas coming out of every pore, it seems, of their body. You know, you can hardly contain them. And as I said before, they're really driving the economy. So it's easy to get your heart into work like this, especially when you're putting the customer first. The second reason I love doing what I do and working in the small business segment is we make great products here. You know, I'm behind our customers, I'm behind our company, and I'm behind our products and services because I know that we make a difference, and we make a difference in something that's really difficult, which is financial management. You know, I have seen that we can help small businesses manage their finances so that they can spend time on the things that matter, which is getting customers for their business, managing their business, getting to their definition of success. So that would have been the only additional question I would have asked.
Well, Barb, you know, I know that you have a really demanding schedule. You're a very busy executive, so we're really fortunate to have you come in to do this interview. So thank you for sharing your substantial wisdom with our audience.
Thank you, Stephen.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Barb Anderson, Intuit's group manager. Barb shared her insights into the small business needs, trends, and her tips for success.